Welcome to another edition of Engineering Influence, a podcast brought to you by the American Council of Engineering Companies. I'm very pleased today to be coming from you in really the, I guess, the hideaway office of Congressman Rodney Davis of Illinois, a member of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. But more importantly, the winner, or the at least the trophy holder of the 2019 Congressional Longest Yard Football Championship, which is a great achievement, which is a biennial football game being that's put on for charity by between the Capitol Police and members of Congress. Say a little bit about the charity, because I don't think a lot of people realize that this happens outside of Washington, that this is a biennial event.
Well, for other reasons, the baseball game has gotten a lot more attention over the last few years after the tragic shooting that we all went through in June of 2017. But we also have a congressional football game for charity where instead of like in baseball where Republicans and Democrats play against each other, we play on the same team against the guards. It's kind of based on, as you said, the Longest Yard movie. We're supposed to be the ones, the convicts, but we bring some pros in too, some former NFL pros that help us coach and play with us. But we really appreciate what the guards do on a regular basis. But there's a Capitol Police Memorial Fund that was started after the death of two officers in the late 90s here in Washington, D.C., where they were killed by a mentally ill gunman who came into the Capitol before we had a lot of the security protocols that we now see in place. That Capitol Police Memorial Fund gets money from this football game, what we raise. Also, a couple of other charities that are dedicated to helping veterans who come home and maybe be suffering through post-traumatic stress syndrome. These are the charities that are funded by the record $300,000 plus that we raised last night.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I think it's a good lesson for everyone listening outside the Beltway that at the end of the day, members of Congress come together for a good cause.
You know, we really do. And in the midst of an impeachment inquiry beginning, we Republicans and Democrats played together on a field last night for charity. And I just hope your listeners and the American people realize that there's a lot more of that than what you see and hear in the news on the 24-hour news cycle. That's a good thing. And I want to thank the Capitol Police for what they do every day. They protect millions of people a year that come through this Capitol complex. I also saw the Capitol Police officers firsthand when in the midst of a shooting, in the midst of a tragedy. Those officers ran toward the gunfire while we were all running away. That's courage. But that courage exists too every day. And we know they're doing what they're trained to do. But also, last night was a night that, although I respect everything they do, I'm damn glad we beat them.
It's always good to bring the trophy home.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not carrying it by any of those Capitol Police at the guard stations.
Unless you have to get down on the floor of the House and do the special order to...
That'll be tomorrow.
Well, like you said, you know, there's a lot going on in Washington right now. A lot of it is political, but there's one issue, which, of course, I think is largely bipartisan. It historically has been. And that, of course, is infrastructure. Yep. You serve as the ranking member on the Highway Subcommittee, on the Transportation Infrastructure
Committee. It's the largest subcommittee in Congress, 59 members.
59 members. Mm-hmm. And of course, right now, everybody's looking to see what's going to happen with infrastructure next. The Senate has moved on their version of a service bill before they broke for August recess. And now that they're back, you know, that process continues. What's your perspective and view in the House? Where do you see this process going? And what would you like to see come out of this session?
Sure. I'm glad the Senate took the first crack at it because I think it sends a message to the Democratic leadership who I believe are holding up Chairman DeFazio from being able to offer up a solution on the House side. You know, Peter DeFazio is a good friend of mine. Eleanor Holmes Norton, the chair of the subcommittee that I'm the lead Republican on. And then our ranking member, Sam Graves. If we were just given a chance to sit down and across the table from each other, we could have a bill done in a matter of days, if not hours. We can do that. The Senate did that. They did their work. We had Senator Carper over to speak to our transportation stakeholders meeting that Earl Blumenauer and I run on a regular basis. He was there today talking about their successes. But again, it all comes down to two things now. Number one, it's how do we pay for it? Because that Senate bill addresses nothing in the pay-fors. I mean, we can put good policies together on the the authorizing side, just like they did, but the appropriating side and the tax writing side, that's going to be the biggest part of our discussion. That's one issue that's holding up progress. The second one is impeachment. Look, I've been as a staffer during the Clinton impeachment. I've never been here during an impeachment. And from what I remember in the 90s, nothing gets done during impeachment.
Everything just grinds to a halt.
Absolutely. And that's unfortunate because we ought to be able to come together on infrastructure. That's why I asked to be the ranking member on the Highways and Transit Subcommittee. I know we got a highway bill coming. We've got to get together and come up with solutions.
So even though, like you mentioned, things got even more partisan or more political last night with the announcement of this inquiry, there still can be work done by the committees, by staff and the members. As you mentioned, T&I is an authorizing committee. You can only do so much when it comes to the question of funding.
Yeah.
How is...
we'll have a say in that funding source.
Yeah, but what do you think is... How is Ways and Means approaching this on the House side? What do you think is
not.
The best? They're not?
They're not at all right now, and that's part of the problem.
Do you think it's at least on their agenda, or do you think there's some reason why it's being held up? Or
Frankly, I can give you my perspective and my opinion on why it's being held up. I think Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic leadership don't want to talk about infrastructure. Mm-hmm. They don't want to pass the USMCA right now because it gives President Trump a win. Gives President Trump something to go talk about and being able to work together and get things done that matter to American families. It just doesn't matter to a group of engineers. It just doesn't matter to a group of road builders. It just doesn't matter to a group of transit officials or members of Congress. It matters to every single American out there to have a better transportation network to get to and from work. But what matters in middle America sometimes doesn't matter the leaders in politics out here. And that's what's sad. That's what I think is holding this up. It's just a sheer will of the Democrats not to give the president a win. And that's unfortunate.
Now, I think going back home and from the perspective of your constituents back home, a lot of us talk about, and we hear all the time in Washington, the negative side of infrastructure. The roads are crumbling, the bridges are falling down. The flip side of that is what we could actually achieve if we actually invest in America's infrastructure. What kind of benefits would your constituents get from a well-funded and long-term infrastructure bill?
Well, they're going to see updates to their local transportation systems that they and many of their local officials have been calling for years, if not decades. It's being able to implement those long-term visions that have been part of a planning process that maybe outdates even as long as we've been alive in many cases. You look at US 67, for example, in the southern part of my district. That long-term project could be completed with an infrastructure bill. We could get the rest of US 67 funded and then the New Delhi bypass funded around Jerseyville that could really then complete that four-lane corridor from basically from the Quad Cities all the way down to St. Louis. That was a long-term goal that was put in place long before I ever got involved in politics and policy. But you don't have to look too far to see the benefits of what could happen. And we also can't forget how long of an outlook we have to have when it comes to infrastructure. Dave Bender and I have known each other for a very, very long time. And when I first started working right out of college, I was involved in an accident on Route 29 that killed a young lady on December 23rd. And I was the third car in the accident. I went around it, got sprayed with debris. But that death of Melody Trauber started a group called Project 29 in Taylorville, my hometown. And in 1992, and moving into 1993, when that group was started, if you would have asked us if we were okay with that project finally getting done in 2016, we would have said, keep your money. But we didn't. We got the first ever federal investment that was invested in 1998. That helped put that project onto Governor Edgar's five-year plan. Then we had Illinois First. They invested more dollars to get four lanes on both ends of that 18 miles that still need to be four lanes put in place. And then as we moved federal dollars into that project, and as we moved more state dollars into that project, it finally got done in 2016. 1993 to 2016. But nobody in my hometown that drives that road says we regret investing in that project. But we got to be patient, and we've got to continue to invest, because eventually you get it done. And that's what an infrastructure bill can do.
That's a really good point. And I think that the length of time from inception to project delivery is also something that is always on our minds.
Clearly, the engineering portion, that's what keeps it. That's Absolutely. What takes too long. Yeah.
Do you see any movement on making sure that we...
engineers don't have sense of humor. You didn't laugh at all. Terrible, terrible. Change order.
But no, I guess the idea of cutting that project delivery timeline is something which the Senate addressed with one federal decision in their bill in streamlining the environmental regulatory review
Absolutely.
Process. How important will that be, mirroring that or going further in the House?
You know, it's a step more than what we've already done. I mean, look, we have had so many successes in the 6.5 years I've been here when it comes to water infrastructure, when it comes to water infrastructure, rail infrastructure, road infrastructure. We've done everything we can to really lessen the regulatory environment and speed up the permitting process. Think about it with the Corps of Engineers. When we first passed our first WERDA bill that we did when I got here to Congress in 2014, the average time it took from what I consider the paperwork process to the building process was 15 years, average time. And I can only blame you engineers for a portion of that, you know? So we, by law then, what we did is we made sure that the Corps of Engineers knew that they had 3 years. Mm-hmm. 3 years, that's it. Otherwise, you know, you're penalized. You got 3 years by law to finish the project, that portion of the project. Then we get to the infrastructure investment itself much more quickly. Those are the types of things we've been able to do. So continuing down that process with what the Senate did, I think is a great step. We have to continue to identify where we lessen the regulatory burden and get to the point of laying concrete and asphalt.
I just have two more questions, because I want to make sure that we have votes coming up, and I know you want to make sure that you hit them. The one question I have, again, on WERDA, really, is we're expecting that, of course, in 2020.
It'll be my third WERDA bill.
Third WERDA bill.
When I take full credit for finally passing WERDA bills, because before I got here in 2013,
nothing happened.
It was 07. So you're welcome.
No problem. I guess question on process, and this might be speculative, but do you think that Chairman DeFazio is going to keep the same process that Chairman Schuster put in with the chief's reports, or that might that change?
Well, certainly I'd like to go a step further. Look, I'd like to be able, have members of Congress try to address issues in their own district like we used to. I think it's a tragedy that we can't ask for any language when it comes to WERDA authorization. Authorization. We are only authorizing dollars to be spent. No dollars are attached to a WERDA request. But somehow, before I got here, those requests were labeled earmarks when they have $0 attached. And what that has led to has been zero investment on the locks and dams in the Illinois and Mississippi waterways, because I couldn't ask for it during the Obama administration, and the Obama administration wouldn't ask to spend any money on it. So we had no recourse. It's all executive branch driven. Thankfully, the Trump administration began to invest in the Illinois and Mississippi waterways. They're spending millions to upgrade LaGrange. Now the problem I have is our producers are worried they won't get done in time. I'm like, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
We're actually worried about spending money instead of getting money.
Mm-hmm. So the final question I have for you is...
did we win the game? Yes, we did. We're champions.
Did. Yeah. So a little bit later, we're going to be meeting with some of our executives, some of our senior executives, institute members.
Yeah, a couple of them got to ride up on the elevator with me holding the trophy.
Oh, there you go. So they already gave you the elevator pitch.
They know I'm a champion.
Do they let them hold the trophy? That's the big question.
I let them touch it.
All right, there you go.
They did.
Given the fact that we talk a lot about the value of engineering and kind of the broader context of its value to society, what's going to be your message to them when you talk to them?
That we won the football game. Clearly, that's all I'm going to talk about. My message is engineers by nature, by job, are long-term planners. Understand that we wouldn't, as policymakers, we wouldn't expect an engineer to give us a product that was not a long-term solution for the project they're working on or the building they're building. Don't expect us as policymakers to settle for short-term funding solutions that don't address the volatility and the lack of funding in the Highway Trust Fund and the long-term outlook for what our systems of mobility are going to look like in the next 10 years, which is basically a fancy way of saying, don't just tell us to raise the gas tax. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Well, Congressman, I really appreciate you being on the show. You are the first member of Congress to appear on our podcast, and it's a great way to kick it off. Congressman Rodney Davis, he's a leader on and off the football field. And good luck today. And
can I give a special shout out to Bender?
Yeah, Dave Bender, our director of political affairs here, is sitting out on the sideline here.
Well, David has been a longtime friend. You guys couldn't ask for a better advocate out here in Washington now. And I also want to give a shout out to his replacement, Kevin Ardal. Kevin mm-hmm. and I have worked together for years. He's going to do a great job filling the shoes that Dave left. It's big shoes to fill, but you know what? You guys couldn't have two better people representing you at the state and the federal level. And I appreciate being able to work with both of them. And I know what they're capable of. And you guys have got a long-term bright future with the association.
Dave's been great. I've been working with him since he came on, and it's just been a fantastic experience. So appreciate your time, and thank you very much.
Thank you. And remind Kevin I'm a champion.
I will, definitely.